All right. Did everyone get a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
All right. Do we have a...
I didn't. There was one correction. Is this the... Yeah. On the... our two council members are shown that they're both present and absent.
Oh.
And I don't
they were absent.
They were absent.
You know, I feel that way often.
And I think we were
gotcha.
Both gone.
Where
you were.
Yeah, you mean?
Exactly, yeah.
I'll correct that.
With that noted, I would make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Do we have any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. All right. We have someone in the audience. Do you want to introduce yourself? It's our time for a public comment.
Okay.
Yes, now very soon.
Should I stand up? I won't. Some people are covered.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Why don't you come
you
forward?
Feel comfortable
yeah.
with.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can come sit at the table.
Sit,
and
sit here.
Yeah. I can sit right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. My name is Kelly Doss. I'm the executive director of AIM, which is called Advocacy and Inclusion Matter. We used to be the ARC of Candy, Ohio County. We serve people with developmental and intellectual disabilities like Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and we've been around for about 60 years. And the reason I came tonight was because of what was in the Wilmer Community Ed and Rec brochure for summer 2016. Now, in the past, we would give scholarships for people with disabilities to take swim lessons at Community Ed and Rec. But what caught my eye this year was that the price significantly jumped for people with disabilities, while it remained the same for people without disabilities. That's actually not compliant with ADA. So I called, was it Steve? Is that his name? And the way he explained it, or how he described the price discrepancy, was he said, the $75 classes for people with disabilities were more private lessons, whereas the classes for people without disabilities are more of a group. That's not stated in the brochure or the catalog. And I said, well, isn't there a way that you could balance it out so that it's more equal between the two groups? Because people with disabilities, they have different levels of ability. There's no reason that every single person with a disability has to have the private one-to-one lessons like that, so there's no reason that it should be that high for every person with a disability. So there was no consultation, as far as I know. I know there wasn't with my agency, and I don't think with any agency that serves people with disabilities. This upset a lot of parents, people that serve in special education, and of course my board of directors, when they saw it, were not happy either. So in the future, I would like for Community Ed and Rec, and I brought this up to the chamber too, to have more dialogue with people that actually serve this population. And I believe, like, Mayor Marv Kelvin is aware of this as well. So that was my last conversation with Steve, as he said the reason that the price was high because it was more of a individual or like 1-to-2, 1-to-3 ratio as opposed to a larger group, but the classes went the same amount of time, and actually the people without disabilities, they had more class times than the people without disabilities, so.
What is the price discrepancy?
It's $75 versus $45.
Do you know why they decided to change to go to more private than, I mean, had there been a problem or something, or why did they make the change?
Like I said, last year it was the same for both people with disabilities versus people without. They said this was, in the past, they had been operating at kind of at a debt level, so taking it as a negative or a loss. So they had to make it $75 so that it would operate at a zero budget. So
I understood you to say that now that they're listing them more as private, and they... versus more of a group. Has it always been that way? Or did this change just this year? That's my question.
Yeah, well, last year it was the same type of class.
It was?
Yes.
Okay, that was my question.
Yes, yeah.
They're doing this to balance their budget, too.
Yeah, so apparently they've been taking a loss. the past how many years to offer it at $45 or whatever.
Who decides what group the child should be in? Like, what, I mean, as far as disability is concerned?
I'm guessing when parents see this is that they say these are the adaptive swim lessons. So really this is just what's offered is these three classes here. So.
And there's a description on how it can be adapted or?
Not really. It just talks about how swimming is recognized as one of the best forms of therapy for people with disabilities. There's many health benefits. Class space is limited.
Okay.
So they even call it a class. They do not call it private lessons.
Right. Hmm. And there's no like middle ground for maybe a smaller class size. It's the full class or the private lesson.
That's how it's offered here anyway. And again, maybe they just did not provide all the information that they were supposed to. I don't know, mm-hmm. but this is what is listed here.
But with the swimming lessons, I would think the numbers of disabled clients are probably a very small number of masses. So,
I'm not sure what the ratios have been in the past, but they explained it to me. Well, these $75 ones are 1-to-2, 1-to-1, or and as high as 1-to-3. So, but
okay.
Even still.
I'm sitting here thinking, and was it Blue Cross and Blue Shield that offered the money to teach the Somali people? Was it $10,000 that they came up with? I'm wondering if they could be approached to. I mean, like Richard says, we're probably not talking about a big number here.
And I agree. I mean, it is interesting because, you know, from that perspective, and I think this is pretty timely, within days of those two young boys drowning, Community Ed had been approached about offering boys swimming lessons and girls swimming lessons, and there was money to cover it, and so had the YMCA. And there was scholarship money to cover it. I mean, immediately, those things were in the works to being figured out. And Kelly had brought this issue to me. I mean, unfortunately, like a week after our last meeting, you know, she talked to me about it at a chamber thing and asked if she could come to our next meeting. But when that happened, you know, and we absolutely need to do that, but we absolutely need to make it affordable for people with disabilities to take swimming lessons too and have the same opportunity that anybody else has, not at twice the cost. And if the accommodation they need is more of a private lesson, that is what they need versus, you know, the 8 people in a class type of session.
And I know the classes last year, especially, people couldn't get in because they were full, the adaptive ones. So, I mean, this is something that's in demand. And even when they were like $45, parents needed the $30 scholarship to cover the cost. So I mean, even when it's $45, it still can be a financial burden for parents that have a child with a disability. So so this is a bit outrageous to me. And again, I think if dialogue can be created between Community Ed and Rec and agencies that serve people with disabilities, I think something could be a solution can be reached. So, and again, we were kind of broadsided with this. I mean, when I saw the first day this came out, my jaw just dropped. So, yeah, it's a huge jump from last year.
Have they had any pushback in talking with you, in discussing this with you?
Steve talked with me on the phone. I didn't hear much from, I can't remember his name. He's one of the city administrators.
Larry Cruz?
No.
Kevin?
Kevin, yes. Yeah, so I haven't heard much from him. And the aquatics instructor, I didn't hear much from her. Or the aquatics, Pam, she's over at WCER. didn't get much back from her. Steve was really the only one who would discuss this with me. So,
what you're kind of looking for is just an open communication line between mm-hmm. your office and theirs.
Or any agency that's mm-hmm.
right.
disabilities,
right.
yeah.
Okay.
And Steve said, I think he kind of understood too that $75 probably is not going to be acceptable next year because mm-hmm. I'm guessing parents have complained to the WCER directly. So, but I did get some community feedback as well. So, and this is what we do as an agency, advocate for people with disabilities.
Right.
So,
right.
That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the things that we said early on is we wanted to advocate and not necessarily solve the problem.
Right.
Sean and I might be able to solve the problem, and I'm not sure that that's...
you and I are thinking the same place. I'm thinking of how much, I mean, we would talk about bigger issues that are sort of state issues and things like that where they're big. This is not a big issue. We have direct lines to perhaps do more than advocate here, but I think it might be appropriate since it is a local thing. You made him aware that you believe this was a violation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a letter from this body might be appropriate to say, you know,
find a way to balance it.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe if they made an across the board increase for everybody,
that would, yeah.
It would cover it. I don't know in terms of how many students are taking the full classes and how many dollars it would have to increase for everybody to left.
Yes, because if everybody went to 55, maybe that would make
even
their 50. Budget flush.
Yeah.
And then everybody's treated equitably. And, that,
right.
and so maybe
right.
a letter from the body, I think, might be more appropriate.
I was going there as well, Sean. I think that we could draft that. It probably won't help this year.
I
think we need to look for the future so that, because it doesn't seem right to me. I mean, it just doesn't.
So last year, across the board, it was $45.
It was either 40 or 45.
40
yeah.
or 45. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm going to say it was 40.
Okay.
Do you have any idea how many adaptive clients would be in a class? I mean, are we talking 10 people or are we talking 50?
And again, it's really based on the person's ability level, like what the ratio needs to be.
How many clients would go to the class, the adaptive one? Would there be in total? Would there be 10 people, or would there be 100 people that would take the class?
And that would be a question for WCER because they
don't register
through me.
Right. I thought maybe you knew.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Because then didn't you say too there were people who couldn't get in?
Last year, there were people that were on a waiting list. Yeah.
So they would know how many actually completed the class and then how many people were on a waiting list because they couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, would you like a motion to direct you to write a letter? I mean, so then we've kind of all had input into it. It's not just you taking it upon yourself. And I would make a motion to ask the chair to write a letter to Steve Brizendine and cite whatever might be appropriate language and with the thought in mind that they would be able to work something out next year.
Okay.
And I'll second that.
Okay.
Is Steve the one person who should receive the letter or are there other agencies that are involved in
Actually, I think Steve and Pam, is it Verwink that does the aquatics? I think... So I was told, and this wasn't by Steve, I don't believe, or maybe it was, that Pam is the one that actually sets the prices for.
Okay.
Well,
Pam Brewing, you said?
Yeah.
Is that, go ahead.
Well, I think it would be appropriate to also send it to City Administrator Cruz. That is the hierarchy of our system, and I think we shouldn't just go to the first level, let them know that we are advocating, and it would be a way that you let everyone know.
My question is would that be more school related or would that be city? Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if the superintendent should also.
Oh.
Because I don't know exactly where that would fall.
Well, certainly some of the swimmers, I don't know if they're all children, but I guess
are they kind of a joint powers that oversee community ed? That's a good point then, yeah. But school and city.
I think so.
So Mr. Cruz and then the superintendent, Jeff Holm. Jeff Holm?
These are for ages 5 to 17.
Oh, they have it. They have restrictions. Then it's totally appropriate to send it to both.
You know, I think I'd write it to Steve with copies to Larry Cruz and
Jeff Holm.
And Crystal, feel free to send it on email and we can all help craft that.
Okay, that would be great. I'd have to send it through to you first, right? I can't send it out directly to the group. I remember something,
I think kind of everything has to come through you.
Okay.
Janelle is our conduit. Yep.
Okay, so I'll send it to you once I have a draft and then hopefully we can get this out. Like we said, it won't change anything for this year most likely, but we can get this out so they can have it in mind for next year.
This is a perfect thing for this body to be discussing, and thank you for coming to us.
Thank you for coming to me. Because it was like, oh, come to our next meeting.
That's our privilege to advocate for people with disabilities, and we think that as a community, we want to make such things as swimming lessons just as accessible to them.
Right,
as to
for everybody.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do we have any other public comment? Okay, so our next agenda item is to vote on the revised bylaws with the corrected parliamentary rules. So everybody should have gotten the corrected bylaws. Can we entertain a motion to approve the bylaws?
So moved.
I'll second.
Do we have any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, so moved, motion carried. All right. Next agenda item is continued discussion of interpreter concern at County Family Services. All right, so I was not here at the last meeting, but I did read in the minutes about the concern about how the hours offered are not sufficient to meet the need. And so who would like to further this discussion?
I think what happened is we had discussed it, right, Richard? But we wanted council members were not present, and we wanted their advice how to proceed if we contact the county or what to do. And Bashir can probably talk more about it.
Actually, this is an agenda which he brought it in. It's me who just investigated that thing is personally with discussion about. Talk about so many people within that community. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered that there is a problem there. That's why I brought the suggestion there. Perhaps you can help. So there is a problem, especially those who are working in Genio and those who cannot speak the language, they do have a problem. Even last week I met a woman who go there for three days there. And then whenever she went there, they say wait there, and then someone would help. And then the times end before that. So that problem exists there. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether we can help or whether it's possible to talk about, but the problem exists. Mm-hmm. And nothing wrong about that. It's not about the people who are there. It's about the time.
The hours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of the person who is there, who is translating, have got a time. For example, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Then how many people can be served? 4 or 5 or 2 or whatever.
Right.
If one person can take 40 minutes or 30 minutes, it depends the problem that person is discussing about. So the person will be in line. If that translator gone, then you have to come back next day. Mm-hmm. And who knows whether you will get the gains up. So that's how things goes on.
Is there a way to make an appointment?
They make an appointment. There's so many people there. So
okay.
If they give you an appointment, but the person is only one person. The one who's translating is only one, not two, three, four, five.
Right.
It's only just one.
Okay.
So that's how things goes on. So that's that.
And are you saying maybe like if there's a 1 o'clock appointment and a 1:30 appointment, maybe the 1 o'clock appointment goes to 1:45 and then it just keeps getting pushed back? Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Okay.
For sure, what are the hours that are currently covered by an interpreter out there? Do you know?
The hours? I already gave it to them.
Yeah, they
yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, I take a picture there. I go there to the family service. And I say, can I take a picture, please? They say to me, do it. Then I take a picture. Yeah. So that's
so it's Tuesday.
One.
Go ahead.
I mean, I've heard
Tuesday 1 to 4, Wednesday 8 to 11, and Thursday 1 to 4.
So that's, yeah.
So it's 9
so it's
hours.
Three hour week. Times that's,
yep. Yeah, it's 9 hours for a week.
Right, for the
yeah,
whole
for
week.
A week. Yeah.
With one interpreter.
Yes, just one person, okay. Not two. And they say the Latinos community who only speak English, they have got one person who is there for 5 days a week. So
and they probably have Latin or Spanish-speaking staff too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Spanish. Yeah, yeah.
Are there
that's
any Somali-speaking staff yet at County Family Services? Or
no,
not?
That's
okay.
The problem.
Okay.
That's the problem. So if they get one person, just one.
Yeah, I know.
Then
I know.
It helps a lot.
How extensive a problem is it? I mean, is it a problem every day, or is it a problem once in a while, or I mean, how I'm trying to get my arms around how big a problem this
okay.
is.
Okay, you know this. There's no. I'm sure there's no emergent things that's as an emergence, but the problem is there when you see the people waiting in line there and coming back tomorrow, and someone who can't speak until you get someone. The problem exists there. I cannot say someone are dying because of that thing,
yeah.
But
right.
The problem is there.
Okay.
But there are, I mean, you know, you're talking about financial workers, you know, and there's lots of people coming in there who don't understand what they need to bring in as far as documentation mm-hmm. or paperwork for support. Sometimes they're using children to interpret between a financial worker and a mom. You know, a parent, and it may or may not be accurate.
It's tough enough, even if you know
right,
the language.
Right, if you and if you're out there at any time, the you know there are several East African people sitting in the waiting room waiting to meet with someone out there.
Yeah, you can. If one of us go and visit there, we will see the reality there. People are waiting in line and say, "Hey, I was faster than you. You came here.
Right.
You did this."
Mm-hmm.
Please help me fill the form.
Right.
You can understand the problem is there. So there is a problem there. Nobody can deny.
You can't take your own translator along?
If you take, you know, it's not guaranteed. Nobody will always be for you.
Right.
No, but
yeah. You can take.
So the interpreter that's provided there, is that an employee of the agency or is that an agency outside of Family Services that they hire for those hours?
I'm not sure, but there is an interpreter came from another agency. Like
it's not a Family Service employee.
It's not a Family Service.
Yeah.
If that individual
right.
person is an employee of a Family Service, it will be a very helpful because of you will be there for at least a couple of hours, 3 to 4 hours.
We run into the same situation at Woodlands. We hired. We schedule an interpreter to come in, and the family comes in, or the client comes in, and then something happens, the interpreter doesn't, or vice versa. We have an interpreter, but we don't have, the client doesn't show up. But, and it is annoying. It would be great if we could hire someone.
I believe at the last meeting we talked about that we would like to just go talk to
county
services, but
mm-hmm.
we wondered if we were in line to do that.
Right, or
we
Larry.
Sent a delegation
yeah.
or a couple of people to simply
I think here again, it might just be a letter.
A letter, yeah.
You know, and I'm sure there's another side to the story that we don't,
right,
we don't know, but I think a letter to the county administrator, I don't know who's in charge.
Larry Kleindel.
Yeah, Larry is that, but who's in charge of family services?
Well, right now it's Ann, who is, she's also in charge of public health. Yeah, Ann Family Services, she's the director of both.
You know, and they may have some reason, but I think, again, a letter that would just state, it was brought to our attention that there's a problem, and were they aware, and...
But if you go in person, you can be a little give and take, whereas a letter, it's just one statement.
That's true.
But the letter gets it started.
Right.
Maybe, you know, make the letter say, you know...
That we'd be willing.
We'd be willing to actually come down and lay it out. I will tell you, Dennis, I don't know how big the issue is, but I'll tell you, when I was campaigning in November through the Somali community, I heard this come up several times. Mm-hmm. And people talk about, if I work in the afternoon, I can only go on Wednesday. And there are literally 3 hours to go on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And that's a major problem. I mean, I heard it from people. Yeah. Now that you brought it up, I'm like, this is an issue I know that is very, very relevant throughout the Somali speaking community. Yeah.
And to Marlon's point, you know, maybe after they get a letter, maybe they'll send someone to one of our meetings to talk to us, mm-hmm. too, you know.
Extend that invitation.
Sure.
Yeah.
That we'd be willing to come send a couple people to them, or they could come visit with us, but we would like to be willing to talk about it.
Right, right.
So who would the letter be addressed to?
Larry Kleindel, the county administrator.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think we should have a motion.
I'll second.
Second.
That way, I mean, that way we don't have our poor chair sitting out there all alone. She was directed to do it. We're all in it together.
Well, we'll let her take credit when there's a problem.
Right, yeah. It's like she wrote it.
I see how it is. All right. So we'll put a letter together and then... circulate that as well for approval.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We should vote on that.
What's that?
The motion. We should vote on that motion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Does anyone want to move?
Yep. I made a motion.
Yes, you made it. I need to. Okay. Is there any discussion on it? Sorry. All right.
I'm very encouraged about letter writing because, you know, from the beginning we've been talking about what do we do as a commission? What can we do? We can't go off there one-on-one and say to the people out there, well, you got to do something for this particular person. So I'm all for it. I think it's great. And I think the letter should represent that as a commission, we have talked about it and this is what we
wrote.
We all agree and we're the conduit.
Mm-hmm. The other good thing about a letter is that there's a record, a date, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good.
And so it can initiate that start, like you said, it starts the process.
Mm-hmm. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, motion carried. Do we do that for the other letter?
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Sorry, it's been a long day.
You're fine. We'll keep you
on
straight.
Thank you. All right, so now moving on to item 6, new business. Yes.
I have one. June 1st, and I apologize for missing the last meeting, but on June 1st, I took the call with Minnesota Human Rights Commissioner Kevin Lindsay, and on behalf of our commission, and asked him a series of questions. I'm going to try to look back now. This is a little old, and I'm trying to remember what my chicken scratches are here. I asked him what he would recommend that we do as a new commission, what kind of things should we be looking at, so on. He said, under no circumstances should you engage in investigation as a commission.
Hmm.
However, you can forward investigation charges to the appropriate office, and they will be more than happy to do the investigation. That's what they're paid to do. St. Cloud, that office there, because we did have a person from St. Cloud, he said that office, when it started, was not started by the Minnesota Human Rights Commission. It was started by private funds or some other funds that had it there. And once it was there and connected with the Minneapolis or St. Paul, then all of a sudden it was assumed that St. Paul would continue to fund that when the funding came from another source. And so he said the St. Cloud situation, that is not an office that is paid for by the public funding of the Human Rights Commission out of St. Paul. So he said it's not necessary for us to send our things to the St. Cloud. You can send them right to the cities. He also said there's three duties that he sees Human Rights Commissions that they do, and that is the investigation of charges. And he said that obviously is not one that you will be doing. To ensure the opportunity or equal opportunity in employment. Sorry, where there were four. Equal pay certificates, which I don't know what that is, and I didn't investigate any further. Equal pay certificates. And then the last one was education and where there is disparity. I said he was, and that's where most of your local human rights commissions will be spending most of their time. He then proceeded, because he's the human rights commissioner for the city, for the state, to let me know what the state is focusing on. They're looking at ending homelessness, looking into disability services, workforce alignment, and reduce recidivism.
Oh.
He did not see a direct connection between the state's initiatives and necessarily the locals, and has not made connections to the locals. They believe the local human rights commissions should be autonomous. However, they did sponsor a Minnesota Humanity Center event last year, invited all local human rights commissions to attend. To try to make better linkages and find passionate linkages between communities of what issues are common. And he said that perhaps they will be pursuing that again. And so if he does, we are on their list now to be a participant in that. What they look to do in the state is try to find broad conversations of potential issues coming up. One that he is personally looking at right now was school bullying as a potential issue. He said most of your commissions, he said most of the commissions around the state are about 5 to 6 people. And of the 5 to 6, he says usually one or two show up. So he said the fact that you have a commission of the size you have and that people are showing up speaks volumes about the Wilmer community. So he was quite impressed with that. And because of our conversation, St. Cloud One was funded by Housing and Urban Development dollars. He says, we're talking, and he said, well, you're from Wilmer. We started talking, he goes, well, we're having a thing called We Are One Minnesota. It was a statewide initiative on Islamophobia. He extended an invitation to me, but unfortunately, because I wasn't here, I also wasn't able to go to their meeting anyway. Amy Klobuchar spoke at this and a few others, and they said if they form a committee that will investigate that further, a representative from Wilmer would be invited. I have not heard from them since our meeting. We haven't
nothing
seen any
in the mail.
Phone calls. But it was encouraging. He took about 40 minutes of his day to talk to me. Granted, he was driving in traffic, which I tell my kids not to do, but so be it. But I thought he was very candid. He was very open, and I think if we were to approach him for any kind of additional information, advocacy, any outreach, I think it would be met very favorably. So I was impressed with Commissioner Lindsay.
You mentioned that he said that it isn't a local jurisdiction to make an investigation, but it still is one of the responsibilities, or that you said here.
Well,
that we just tell them to do an investigation?
Right. Mm-hmm. The responsibility, when he talks about those overarching responsibilities, he's talking about it from his office perspective, but he goes, everybody's charged with the same thing, but he said if you don't have a legal entity in place, that you should not be doing those types of things. And there are apparently about 3 human rights commissions in the state that have a full-time legal entity that's assigned there. They do investigations. He said, if you don't have that, you shouldn't do that. But send them, for sure. Yeah.
How big a staff does he have? Did you get any sense of that?
I did not ask that. I'm assuming, I gather he must have some folks that are fairly quick, because he was supposed to call me at home and he didn't, and he called the city, or had people call the city, and they called somebody else, and there were at least 2 people trying to secure phone numbers. So He's got at least two people on staff.
Actually, what he said about St. Cloud, because there was something in the paper just a week or two ago.
I was just going to say, I just saw there's a movement on getting a staff in that office again.
Yeah, and he said he was going to try to do that, but he'd have to get the money out of the legislature. Because there isn't any money for
good
that.
Luck.
Because it came from Housing and Urban Development, and when they cut it, right, then they didn't have the money in his office to continue to do it.
Right.
But he said he's heard a lot of outcry, so he wants to do that. I asked him about regionalization. Could there be regions of locals? And again, he was very hands-off of the local situation. So he said that's a novel idea that perhaps you should talk about with other locals around. Mm. But if you came to him with that and said, we'd like to form this, he would probably think that's
so an office in St. Cloud, or that really wouldn't be of much benefit to us anyway.
Didn't sound like it. Of no better benefit than going right to their office.
But thanks for doing that. I mean, I think it's important. Now we have a contact, a name, and then he knows about us. And so when we do send something, I say, I talked to that guy.
Exactly, and I hope I didn't mess it up. So I think it was a good conversation.
Very good, thank you.
Yep.
Anything else for new business?
Bashir, did you say the next meeting?
Yep, the next meeting, Imam will be us. As Gerald told me that the Imam, she's staying with us today. But unfortunately, there's a funeral in his family. So that's why he phoned me and told me, sorry, I cannot be there today. And he promised that he will be next meeting with us. If things go fine, everything.
Okay, great. Thank you. Another thing that I thought we could bring up tonight is part of the minutes discussed some education, what we could do as far as education. I'm trying to think back where it was. Oh, yes. Marlon, you had suggested keeping a list of possible educational forums as ideas come up. So one thing that we could do is we could pull together some sort of public forum or educational program on a topic that we feel is pertinent. And I know that homelessness has been a big one up in St. Cloud, and I'm on the Wilmer Women's Fund, and we just got done with a campaign for homelessness and human trafficking, and just the statistics on that in Wilmer is very eye-opening, and how homelessness leads to human trafficking, particularly with women and girls. But that would be something that we might want to talk about, is having a forum, public forum on homelessness, and bringing in maybe someone from Lutheran Social Services or Safe Avenues. Maybe they would have someone that could come speak to us on homelessness, or not necessarily speak to us, but speak to the community, and we'd offer that. One thing is, you know, we don't have a budget, so is that feasible? You know, because we wouldn't be able to offer any stipend to them. So does anyone have any input on that idea?
I think if it's not an unreasonable stipend, I think we can find some money either through the mayor or somehow, because I know there will be money in next year's budget.
Okay.
For us. I don't know what the amount will be.
Furthermore, these agencies are often eager to
share information.
Share, so I don't know that a stipend would be necessary if you invite someone from Safe Avenues.
Another thought is to get people there. You know, usually food gets people somewhere. I don't know. Sometimes it can be difficult to get people to come to these events, and if we put the time and energy and these agencies put the time and energy, we want to make sure there are people attending the event as well. Yeah.
Advertising is expensive.
Right.
And that's where your expense will come.
Yeah, but you have to get the message out if you're going to try to do something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say, you know, maybe there may be groups that would be willing to participate, you know, in a budget for that. Mm-hmm. Because I think you could spend quite a bit of money and would need to spend some money on advertising, be it in the newspaper. Some of it you can do through, you know, the social media and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, because what our mission is to advocate, educate, and inform. And so I don't want to just wait for issues to be brought to us. I want to make sure that we're educating the community, too, on different issues. Yeah. So I don't know if we can table that till next meeting when there's more people here to kind of put our brains together, or how, I don't know how we move forward with it, I guess.
Maybe a good thing to maybe brainstorm some of these educational areas, mm-hmm. and maybe vet them, mm-hmm. as a group. To me, I the one and done idea, I'm not an advocate for. I think if you build it, they will come. And if you start and you don't get a lot of folks initially, mm-hmm. I think that you don't get discouraged, and we should continue to plow forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's something that's there and it's, the word will get out. I mean, mm-hmm. this is a small enough community that if you do a knockout job, that the next time there'll be more people, and then there will be more people. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to see a series. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would call it, the human rights series or something like this, but mm-hmm. I like those things that are continual, because mm-hmm. I think that it kind of emphasizes the importance of the issues we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like homelessness is something that there is a group together that are really have, they're implemented right now, and mm-hmm. they're really doing some things,
mm-hmm.
And I think they're up and running, and they're not. They don't always have clients that they're serving, but they're. Right. It's working.
Mm-hmm.
You mean people, Family Promise?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I agree, but that is just a small piece of the homelessness picture, because they only service up.
Yes, not everybody. Mm-hmm. It's that's right, and yeah, you're right. There's a.
Well, Family Promise, which I participate in, and I've just been asked to join the board of Family Promise, that they're working on expanding the idea of what the needs are. As this is 1 year worth of mm-hmm. getting established and finding out who's in need, and they have a family structure.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been some talk about kind of being maybe, I don't know, I should say, less stringent, or just opening up to some other kinds of people that might be in need of being a guest of Family Promise. So it's a work of pride and mm-hmm. in process right now too. So
because I think now it's a parent with a child, at least.
Parent with a
child.
Two parents and a child. I think the situation might be considered to be okay to have two parents that maybe don't have a kid,
okay.
or a woman who's pregnant and the kid's not born yet, which has come up a time or two. So, there's just looking mm-hmm. at it with a little bit of a broader lens, I think. So, but that is a privately funded, it's not a government subsidized anything there. So
how about we come to the next meeting with some brainstorming regarding what topics the community needs education on, and then how we can put together some sort of series. I like that idea. Rather than a one-time thing, I'll make it a 3-4 time series, and then we can see what our ideas are next time.
So I think with that, not just the series of the topics of what might be discussed, but exactly kind of the mechanics of putting a forum together.
Sure.
Because I haven't really done that mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. but I have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, half of one today.
Pirate vision today.
Yeah.
Yes, because
kind of
we would.
The structure of it and then, mm-hmm. How we would go about it too.
Sure. Right. We would need to figure out venue, advertising, speakers.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, we had talked, maybe it was just you and I that talked, would it be advantageous for us to have the police department come in and talk to us? I mean, they're the ones that are out there and kind of doing our work, in a sense.
Right.
I did talk to the chief, and they would be, he or somebody, would be willing to come and just visit. And they might have some ideas on topics that, you know, that they think might be helpful. So if you'd like, we could get a police officer or someone at our next meeting to talk about human rights things in general, what they see.
Sure.
I think that's really good.
I do too.
That is.
Yep.
Also in the light of all the tension with regard to racial profiling and so on, I think it would be excellent to be able to visit with them about how they see that within the police department.
They see a different side of the world than many of us see every day.
They sure do.
Right.
Okay. I will take care of that.
Thank you.
But next time we're having them on, right? So the next meeting now?
Yeah, that's probably true. So maybe it would be September,
this
September meeting. Yeah, thanks. Yep.
Sure. Okay. Any other new business?
What's that? A pair of fly buzzing around underneath you.
There you go. Well, and I guess we can
move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn, yes.
Do we have a next date?
Thank you.
Do we have a next date?
Yes, what is it, August 15th, was it?
I think it's the 16th.
16th is the Tuesday, and that's next Rack and Robbins
that's
again.
That's the next
Rack and
Robbins.
Oh, is
it? Yeah. Well, it's probably good. We can go here and then go across the street.
Go across the street.
Leave the car here.
Probably. We're talking August 16th?
Yes.
Is that an issue for anyone to coincide with the event?
I'll do what I did just now. You may have to wait just a little bit while I come back across the street, but that's not a problem.
Yeah. Okay. At 5.
I'm going to see if I'm going to be able to have to walk back to the crosswalk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll do